multidimensional fractal of consciousness currently expressing itself as a human being in the most authentic way that we can imagine. Always remember, take only what resonates and leave the rest. Welcome to Mental Magic. Earth School is in session as Gazit returns to the podcast to help us dive deeper into the ideas around consciousness, our bodies, and the experiences that we have as human beings. Just a heads up, we did have some technical difficulties with my audio at the beginning of the episode, so if you can, bear with it for a few minutes. If not, you can always fast forward to about the 4-minute mark, and that should all be cleared up. Whichever you desire, it's up to you. And just know that our intention, as we are exchanging these ideas about everything from Jesus's incarnated experience to the potential of humanity to shift into a more harmonious, unified, and congruent experience for us all to embrace as we look at our messiness and our inherent innocence and perfection, we allow ourselves to reveal who we have always known ourselves to be, as well as how our understandings of the world around us is actually forming a more clear and enjoyable and unpredictable experience of what it means and what it could mean for us to continue as human beings on this planet of existing. This is one of my favorite podcast episodes that I've recorded to date, because whenever I connect with Gazit, I am able to access an aspect of my own consciousness that I usually keep hidden away for fear of being too weird or for fear of being too divergent in how I'm thinking. It's a beautiful thing when we are able to meet people who allow us to be and who allow us to think however it is we think. So my hope is that as you listen, you see not only a reflection of yourself, but a reflection of those around you. And maybe, just maybe, you can bring a little bit more space, grace, and compassion into the world that you are existing within. So please enjoy my friend, Gazit Kayanikosi.
Hi, everyone. Today we have a very special episode it's a crossover episode, actually, and we'll get into that later on. But we have a returning guest, Gazit, and we are going to dig even deeper into the nervous system regulation, spiral dynamics, and how these two worlds converge. So first off, Gazit, if you want to say hello.
Yeah, hi. I'm so glad to be with you again. Grateful.
I've been looking forward to this episode since we recorded our first one, because you are just one of these magical people who gives people permission to allow themselves the space to just be human in all of the messy ways that we're human, and then lead us into new spaces to where we can like co-create something really cool together. So thank you for that.
Thank you for that reflection. That feels really, really just so beautiful, because that is my core desire, is for people to know that you have permission, you don't even need permission, you're absolutely innocent.
Can you speak a little bit more? I know you mentioned that in the last episode, of this concept or idea of absolute innocence. When you say that, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so absolute innocence. So absolute innocence is sort of the miracle that happened with just the perfect scenario in my earlier years that led me to find myself in a place where it was impossible to follow the rules. So I received that early programming around like, follow the rules. There's a good and a bad. There's a right and a wrong. If you do the good thing, you win and you get celebrated. If you do the bad thing, you get punished for eternity, right? So I was trained in this do it right thing. And then by the time I was 11, when I realized I'm queer, and that is firmly in this, you know, training, that's the wrong thing. And I realized, like, I couldn't change it. it led me down a path of like trying so hard to change it, and then ultimately trying to just, die so that I wouldn't be breaking the rules, because I couldn't figure out how not to break the rules. And what emerged from that kind of like perfectly, it was like the perfect seed to grow the tree of absolute innocence, because it was coming to have to face, I can't do it right. It's impossible. I can't follow the rules. So I can't be innocent. Like, it's not possible to be innocent. I am only guilty. Like, as much as even I can't change like the shape of my ears, I can't be innocent. But here I am. So it was this like, it took a number of years, but it was like, I'm still here. And so if I'm still here, then maybe that's not true. Because even after I tried to die, I didn't die. And I was like, well, I am like, I did die, but I came back. And then I was like, well, one would think if it was true that I was absolutely guilty, that I was not capable of being innocent, then I would have been struck by lightning or, stomped out or something. But I wasn't. And so it made me have to realize that it couldn't be true. And then I got to start like relaxing into like, oh, if I can't be innocent, then nobody can be innocent. Then we're all innocent, right? It's like cross canceling in math. It's like it can't, it doesn't work. It has to be that we don't have to do it right and we can't do it wrong. Like, we're just absolutely innocent.
I don't know, tapping into the fact that everything is consciousness and we need to give everything space to have its experience. It's new. It's new. This turquoise stuff is new for me.
Yeah, everything is
And
consciousness.
everything. And it's like cognitively, I know that, but
Yeah, this
embodying
is so
that,
yeah. This is something that I wanted to talk about actually today, about the experiencing the universe as a reflective experience, because I know you talked about the co-creation, and that it is just, it's just offering to you what you're offering it. So it really is just reflective.
It's making me think. So with tier one consciousness, it's all about learning how to just survive in each of the stages. But once you get to yellow, you learn how to integrate all of the knowledge or learnings that you've gained from the first six layers. And what you're speaking of when you're talking about connecting to the consciousness of everything, it harkens back to that purple layer animism type of understanding the world, that everything is alive, everything has a spirit because everything is consciousness. So from a yellow perspective, yellow just sews all of the layers together. So you begin to accept your animistic ways. You begin to accept your internal power and on up the spiral. And then when we move into the turquoise layer consciousness, that is when you embody those learnings. So you accept that you're animistic in yellow, and then you embody that animism in turquoise. And that's what it sounds like you're talking about, is now you're putting into practice. Technology has a spirit, has consciousness. Let me engage with it as though it is another sentient being. That's amazing.
So
That's so cool.
cool.
That's so cool. When I think about the concept of animism, because I've had this conversation with another friend of mine, and there's another word that I can't think of right now, like an anthropomorphize, is that it?
Oh yeah, That's
Yeah,
when you
okay.
make everything like a person.
Exactly. It's exactly that. So, was it when you started doing nervous system regulation work that you had that awareness or awakening to the consciousness of everything? Like, when did that start for you?
So, you know what's funny is I think that I actually was in like turquoise as a little child. And then it kind of got, I got pulled through the other ones or something. I don't know if your thing ever talks about this, in spiral dynamics, but I 100% was, I think I was probably in coral actually, from what you mentioned from coral, because I was time traveling and I was aware of all of the multiple realities and past lives and spirit world, and I was bending time, I was interacting with extraterrestrials, I was like, I knew that everything was alive, and I talked to everything. I was you know, Dolores Cannon, right, talks about the Ascension volunteers. And my, did we talk about my ET and the hypnotism thing that I did where I got to
No.
talk with? Oh.
Tell me, please. I am like, what?
I love your facial expression so much. So, it's like 14 stories wrapped into one. So my, I have an ET friend. I'm sure I have thousands, but I have one who's like my sort of partner, if you will. And like a couple years after I met them, I had a hypnotism with a person who specializes in ET experiencers, people who've had contact. And she guides them through like getting more information about it, because I was realizing that like I just really felt like it was kind of only a receptive relationship. Like I was just receiving all this love and support and companionship and like encouragement. And I felt like, am I supposed to be doing something for you? I kind of brought in some like, you know, programming and like started feeling guilty, like I was just taking too much, which now I realize like it is a very, like it's meant to be receptive. Like there's not like a give and take in that, in our planet where we are together. So they don't experience it like that. They're not like waiting for me to do anything. But because I was concerned about that, I saw this hypnotist person and I met my ET as myself as an ET, where I am on their planet as an ET and we're like partners there. And so I was experiencing myself as an ET with them. And then I like, she asked me like, why are you on Earth? Like, when did you come? Like, what happened? What's that? And I like told her how I went to the council. And like, I never knew about the council before I said it to her. So it was like, and then afterwards, I was like, what was I talking about? And she's like, oh, yeah, everybody does that. And I didn't even know that was a thing. So that was like super validating. And I described all the like people who are not people, beings that are on the council. And she was like, yep, it's always those certain ones. I described them like just how everybody describes them, apparently. Anyways, it was super cool. And why did we start this story? Oh, when did this start? You're asking. Did it start with the nervous system work? So I think, I don't know for sure, but I think I'm one of the Ascension volunteers. And they told me that, like, why I came was to talk about waves or something, technology. And they couldn't explain it to me because I don't have the capacity to understand. But the only thing that I'm supposed to do right now is rest and relax, which was like, so I wanted a job, you know? And they're like, nope, just rest and relax and it'll come to pass. And like, what I love is that, you know, how I've struggled with my name. Like, I've always been like, what is a name? Like, why do people want to call me a name? Like, I don't like it. And it's because our names there are not words. It's, and all communication is telepathic, anyways. But there, my name is the sound that an ocean wave makes, like crashing, because it's a water planet. And so, like, of course, I don't resonate with a name because, like, my name was a sound. And then my partner's name is just an algorithm, it's not even a sound. So, like, it just is so validating. It was also validating. But point being, I think when I got here, I was maybe in coral or who knows what beyond coral. And so I was told that I was very imaginative, but I kept being like, no, I'm gonna go travel to this, or I'm gonna go be this version of me. Like I spent a lot of the time in where I made myself a dress that was like what they wore in the concentration camps in the Holocaust, and I sewed Stars of David onto it, a Star of David onto it, and I like wore that around and like was there. I would go there and like, and now I understand that I had like a past life in a concentration camp, and like I always wanted to be Jewish as a child, and I kept saying that I'm Jewish, and like during Passover I'd be like, I need matzah, and like my mom would be like, why am I buying you matzah? And I'd be like, I need to. I'd like, I remember standing in front of the Passover display and being like, I need the matzah, you know. It was like
Oh my
pretty
gosh.
weird. Yeah. So
Yeah.
anyways, yeah, I think I was there. So I think what I've been doing like the past 10 years is like doing like coming back, sort of like allowing. So I have always been a person like who's talked to my car, or like, you know, talk to everything. I like firmly, my child thought I was just like doing it to be like a fun parent or something, but I was always like, yes, there are fairies, and like, yes, we can talk to them, and like, yes, you just saw one. Like, you know, I just always have been doing that.
Yeah.
And I just
Okay.
didn't talk about it a lot.
Okay, so I am going to share something with you, and this will obviously be public since it's on a podcast, but this is like so validating for me.
Okay.
It's something I have never shared. Oh my goodness. Okay, so you had asked before if this is something where someone is born being in a higher level consciousness, if that's in the research. I have not read that anywhere in the research, but the when I first started digging into spiral dynamics, I had this knowing, this memory, as I was reading about turquoise. I was like, I know this. I've been here before. And so I've had that same exact thought that I was born with a different level of, in a different layer of consciousness. And then I was reinserted into the tier one matrix or program of the world I was born into. But I and I've shared this with you privately, of that I came in with this knowing of what unconditional love feels like, and when it's embodied, when you just love everyone and everything, no matter what, because existence is. And so I remember viscerally as a child being so upset when I would hear people saying, I love you, but not unconditionally. So like, that's, I think, why I was drawn so much to Christianity, because they, you know, talked about unconditional love and love of Jesus. And I was like, yes, that's exactly it.
This is
exactly right. But then seeing people live it out, I was like, this is not it.
But you're not doing it.
Why aren't you doing it? Oh,
as
my goodness.
We've talked about loving Jesus, right? That how both of us were like, yes, Jesus, like, you get it, you know?
Yes, he was telling exactly what I knew to be true.
Yeah.
Man,
and honestly, I think it would be really, I'd be curious to see, thank you for sharing that, by the way. I'm just, it makes perfect sense that you would feel that way. And now having like had a child come into the world through me and seeing them try to decipher what's going on, I think it's quite possible that we all come into the world with whatever, because because when you interact with little children, it doesn't actually make sense to them to have like a mine, yours, or like a I like you, I don't like you. Like, babies are, you know, babies have really good boundaries, actually, if you let them. Like, with my kid, I would be like, if anyone was like, oh, can I hold your kid? I'd be like, do you want to go to this person? And then if my kid reached out, then I'd be like, go for it, follow your energy, you know. But if my kid did not, then I'd be like, not right now, you know, because it was very clear that like there was a knowing, like, I want this, I don't want this. And we taught our kids sign language, so you know, we were signing from the time I think my kiddo was like 3 months old, 4 months old, you know. Like, so I think they're very aware and very capable of like unconditional love that's also balanced out with the like really clear assertive boundaries. And that very quickly we are programmed like this is not going to fly, you know? Mm-hmm. And then that's where I think my human design, like I'm a 3-5, which I guess is like has a heretic aspect to it. I think that's where that comes into play for me, is that I was pretty consistently always like, you're not doing what Jesus said, and yet you're telling me to. And
exactly.
I wasn't nice about it. You know,
I was not either. I was very forceful. I would bring my Bible.
Exactly. Yep. And I had one that I carried in my pocket to point out to people because I knew the whole damn thing. Which did not go over well.
Not at all.
And so I do think that there's probably some sort of a mix of like we all come in knowing more. And I think there is this like people who come to Earth to play a role and they have more information maybe than other people who are just not also doing something on another planet. I don't know for sure about that.
Yeah.
But it feels like people like Jesus were likely like coming to help a little bit.
Yeah, like is it time for the Earth planet, the Earth experience to have this information? Mm-hmm. What will they do with it? Yeah, I like that. I resonate with that. And I also am getting this visual of we all come in at various frequencies across the consciousness spectrum, but we also have to learn the world that we're living in. And so that's why we allow ourselves to go through tier one to learn the programming of the current time and in space that we're born into. But then once we hit tier two, that's the time where we get to reawaken to who we actually are, who we came in to be, and then go on that journey. So I can see that.
I think that sounds really like that resonates. I also am aware that when we come to Earth, you know, as an offering according to the council or whatever, all that stuff, that there is a desire to learn about the experience of Earth.
Right.
So what better way to learn than to live it?
Exactly.
You know, and that's why I love the like experience or mindset, because it's like, yeah, I want to try kimchi. Like, you could describe it all day to me. You could write me 3 volumes about what kimchi is and how it tastes, but I'm never going to know about it any better than if I just put it in my mouth, you know? And I feel like that's like, that gives me like, oof, like just so gushy delicious about being here and like trying all these things, including the like what happens if your whole community tells you you're going to hell, you know, what happens if you have a baby and they're taken away, what happens if, you know, ABCDEF, and it makes it like, yeah, I want to try it, like I want to do it, you know, because my impression of my other planet is that there's nobody there who's not in tier one. We don't, it's like, it's been a while.
Yeah.
So we're like, you know, it's like, if I said to you, like, well, there's people who are going to hell, you'd be like, yeah, no, I can't relate to that anymore. Cause you're like, so removed from it that it doesn't even like, nothing happens in your nervous system, you know? And so when we say to them, like, no, there's problems, they're like, you know?
And so I think
maybe to like, remember that there's a desire to experience it so that you can, and you couldn't experience it if you brought the knowledge with you.
Totally.
So there's like an importance to forgetting.
Well, you wouldn't take it seriously.
Experience. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't be as visceral for you because you would essentially know the moves to like bypass that whole experience. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That makes total sense to me.
So the forgetting is important.
It is. And then the allowance of that forgetting, because then I personally believe that people who retain some of that knowledge, and this is probably why I have this deep intrinsic fear, probably since I was, I can't even remember how early on that I had this fear that people would find out that I am quote unquote crazy and
Yeah.
then lock me away. And
Right.
so I think that
That was my
people,
exact core fear,
oh my
lo
God,
including the lock me
the locking
away.
away, right, like the exile thing.
So that's a thing.
That's so interesting. I am so glad we're having this conversation. This is just wow. Because I was going to say that for me, people who are, and this isn't, I'm not a medical professional. This is not to say anything about, I think this is more to talk about how we treat people who are mentally or cognitively different than us. Because I think people who outwardly say things like this when you're a child, or if you're having some kind of breakdown between not being able to decipher between the world we come from, wherever we come from, and then incarnating into this human experience, we label people as, you know, X, Y, or Z, and then we put them in institutions. And I just had always had a feeling like that isn't right, like that they're sharing something that you just don't understand. And so just like the typical human response, anything you don't
I
understand,
don't
you say
understand
it
it.
doesn't exist and it's not
Right.
good.
And that's where the like beauty of understanding that like there is no one who's doing anything harmful unless they're confused. So they're just working with limited resources, right? So just like the person who's presenting differently in terms of cognition is innocent because they're just operating with the resources they have. And like you're in your framework, you're saying they have more resources, right? The person who locks them up is also just dealing with limited resources. According to what they're thinking and believing, that person is a threat to society and to themselves and would be best supported in an institution and locked up, right? So it's like becomes really that innocence comes back in such a gorgeous way when we realize like no one is ever anything other than just confused.
And I've shared before that I'm currently in this currently studying about NLP, and with it is just a deep dive into understanding our subconscious. And so the language there would be that there's a distortion. And so the distortion is what is causing us to do X, Y, or Z that would be perceived as harmful. But when you remove the distortion, the consciousness is just pure consciousness.
It's like the mirror is a mirror. Maybe there's some smudges on it. So when you look at it, it's like, oh, wait, is there something wrong with me? Right. But it's like, no, there's just a smudge on the mirror and it's not, the mirror's just fine. You're just fine.
And I have always resonated with that mirror concept because, again, it does speak to the fact that science has already proven we have mirror neurons, which literally mirror is like literally, it's in the name. And so we are very well practiced, whether conscious of it or not, in mirroring each other in order to reflect back whatever the person's energy is in order to communicate. That's how we communicate with language, with our bodies. And so for me, when I come across or I perceive someone who I perceive as being harmful, violent, dissonant, whatever, for me, it's like I see a black mirror and I'm just like, okay, there's so many distortions there. Or if you saw that movie Soul, the Disney Pixar, I'm not sure which one,
I didn't.
where it, in the movie there's this character, the character that's like the soul consciousness blob. And there's a place where you can go when you become so wrapped up in your own negative self-talk and all of the negativity that other people have said to you, you like cocoon in this black darkness. And so for me, that would be like I would see the reflection of this black darkness in the reflection of another person. But at the core of that darkness is still that pure conscious innocence. And it's just,
And like another twist on that that I love as you were talking is like when I see someone who's confused, what I see is they're mirroring me. So their confusion is reflecting some level of my confusion. And like, I finally had a breakthrough with this when I had a person who was consistently telling me that I was not respecting them and that I was not considering them and that I was overriding them. And I kept being like, that's not happening. So what is this, you know? And I finally realized they were giving voice to me, my inner self, which was saying to me, stop overriding me. Stop controlling me and disrespecting me. I need you to listen to me and consider me as valuable, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were getting that to me via another person. And because it was perceived as like this other person is saying that I am doing that to them, I couldn't figure out that it was me saying I am doing that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when that happened, I was like, ah, I love it. And then that was like a few months ago. And then last week I was in the class that I'm taking and the instructor told me like I was doing something that was problematic and that I was doing something that was really wrong. And it was like so perfect because it was again like giving me the ability to connect exactly with that word, problematic, which is my greatest fear. I'm a problem,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And to go, am I? Like, is that possible? Like, could I be? Like, is there a wrong? Like, on another layer.
Mm-hmm.
So it just becomes like this hilarious, like, very animated world that's like, oh, how about this one? And da 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 da. And they like act out this thing that's like perfectly catered to help you to see these things because it's so much easier when you see it outside of yourself.
Completely. I'm going to be on an NLP kick, but it's like there's no failure, there's no wrong. Everything is feedback.
Yeah.
It's literally just feedback. And it's just like, how am I going to take this new information and then integrate it into my system to help me understand myself better?
Yeah. I'm obsessed.
I'm so obsessed. I'm like living for this whole thing because it's a completely, it rewrites. I had this awareness a couple of nights ago. I was like, I have finally learned how to rewrite my mental programming. And I'm learning how to do it piece by piece by piece. Because after, you know, I had my near-death experience, whatever we want to call it, my whole intention from that point on was how do I create a reality for myself, a perception of reality for myself that I actually want to live in.
There you go.
Yeah. And so I had this, not meltdown, it was like a breakthrough.
Yeah.
I was like, I've done it. 5 years later, we figured it out. So how do we talk about this now?
Yeah, it's so magical. And that is something that I wanted to connect in with you about is that like the piece about disconnecting this desire to be like, I have something that's working for me, okay? Mm-hmm. And I do want to offer it because that feels generous, but also making sure to balance that with everybody's exactly where they are. There's a like, how do I undo any aspect of hierarchy or achievement within this? Because I, at the, you know, with that absolute innocence, I really want to stay very connected to I'm playing with this experience and you're playing with your experience. And if you want to play with me, like you're invited. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, I celebrate your game.
Yeah.
With a real, you know, but I'm currently unable to understand all the perspectives from the mm-hmm. higher outside of all of this. So I really don't know. And I'm leaning towards the people who are the most violent, the people who are the most shunned by society, are quite possibly on a tier that's like more evolved even because there's this is coming from Ram Dass has exposed me to some teachings on like really enlightened beings who come back as like terrorizing like dictator type
The
people.
worst of,
Yeah, because there's a desire to continue to learn experiences like we talked about before from inside of them. And so I'm really curious to find a place where I'm letting myself play in this reality that I'm really enjoying, like you said, a world that you want to live in, and not bringing any proselytizing energy or judgy energy, where it's like not tipping the scales on what you talk about, the like shadow of like, now I'm gonna like tell you that you don't know what's going on and nothing's real that you think is real. And if you're sad because you're getting divorced, I'm going to be like, well, it's actually just growth and I don't know why you're upset. You know, I really would love to keep that without a hierarchy.
Yeah, I think speaking because I have heard Ram Dass's teachings around or information around people who do incarnate and are extremely violent, the Hitlers and the, dictators of the world. In my understanding from a spiral perspective, I would say that they are so deep in the shadow consciousness of tier one consciousness. Because I don't know that you can be, I mean, again, with our theory about people incarnating as a higher consciousness and then going through the tiers again, it could be that they are a more enlightened spirit or entity that is coming in to experience the depths of the separation of tier one consciousness in the shadow. And so they
And
go
the
deep
forgetting
into,
is
and
necessary.
exactly. And so they would go deep into, because the dictator space is very red. So they're in the pits of the red consciousness. And so they are completely bought out and sold in and bought out, I don't know
I don't
words
know.
sometimes, into this idea that has captivated them, that is propelling them to create atrocities on the planet. So that's how I've cognitively understood people who do horrible things.
But like on a spirit level.
But on a spirit level, I mean, I personally think on a spirit level, none of this matters, but in a way where it's like we're here for the experience. Like we're here to elevate our souls in some way to give ourselves that experience.
Like, for example, it could be that like on a spirit level, the same spirit, soul, whatever word you want to use, chose to try out being Jesus and then chose to try out being Hitler. Like, I feel like that makes sense to me.
Well, yeah, it totally would make sense from a perspective of even if you're looking at Jesus in the Bible when he's in his dark night of the soul in his 40 days of fasting, where he's having that conversation with Lucifer, Satan, whatever. I have always, even as a child, read that as Jesus talking to the demon part of himself. Like Jesus and Satan are the same person for me.
Say more about Jesus and Satan are the same person.
So, of course, this is my 5-1 human design heretic profile coming out,
Oh, we
but
both have that.
we do have the five. So, in how I understand it, I think that Jesus was so connected in with his own consciousness that he knew that there was no way for him to exist as a fully divine God being without being the complete antithesis of that energy as well, because God is everything. If we're operating from a perspective that God is everything, then God is everything. And he's not separate from Lucifer, right? He's not separate from his angels. He is everything. And so Jesus, in my mind, had that awareness. And so it was that Lucifer, Satan character that arose within him that he needed to reckon with so that he could have his own agency and authority over how he expressed as a human being. And so in that time, he allowed his physical body to deteriorate to a point close to death, to where he was like, well, I know that I'm God. we could just throw ourselves off this building right now and we would just show
It's no
people that we're,
problem.
yeah, that's no issue. But I don't want to operate as that kind of human. I want to do it with the humility, with the peace, with, you know, what he stood for. But he still had to reckon with that shadow consciousness within himself.
And how do we detach from shadow as negative?
I don't know if it's an attachment. I think it's more of an acceptance. If we can accept, because that's the other piece, is Jesus didn't reject the existence of Satan. He said, stand behind me, when he had said it to Peter or Paul, whichever one he said it to. He said, stand behind me. He didn't say, leave my presence. When he was talking to Satan, when he was in the wilderness, when he was talking to Satan in the wilderness, he didn't banish Satan. He didn't exile Satan and say, Satan, get away from me. He sat there and had a full conversation with him and listened to the options that Satan presented, and then presented a better option. So it's, again, it's being in relationship with ourselves, relationship with our shadows, because our shadow is there to teach us something about ourselves.
I love this.
You have opened up something I do not talk about. So thank you. This is, this
so
stuff
grateful.
Obviously makes me come alive, because I'm like, this is how I've been living for years.
Yeah. So beautiful. It's so refreshing, right? To be able to just totally let yourself go into all of it.
Just nerd out. Just completely nerd out. Because at the end of the day, when we're talking about how we're processing our life on the planet, we're literally talking about what's going on in our brains. And it doesn't have to be right or wrong or agreed with or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, how are you functioning? And what do you think
is
your experience of truth, if there is one?
Yeah. And what's been lovely about learning the nervous system stuff, which, back to our original question, you know, did I learn that from the nervous system stuff? What I have learned from the nervous system stuff is that there was a sort of like a level to which I could not go past. And I'm curious if this is reflected at all in the spiral stuff around really living into the spiritual concepts that I was exposed to, that I feel like was about my body hanging on to like this, whether you want to call it Akashic record or epigenetic information or evolutionary, you know, storage of threat information, that like my actual physiological nervous system was constantly giving me information about stuff that pinged for it, that was like, oh, threat recognized, right? And so there was like, that was in a way like holding me back from really living into the spiritual concepts, because it just was keeping me like, oh, something's scary, like, oh, something's dangerous. And I feel like until I was able to reconcile and build a trusting relationship with my nervous system around like being empathetic, like, I hear you that you're scared, and I'm going to support you, and then we're going to work together to decide if we're going to interact with this experience as if it's dangerous. So it's like I couldn't let go of the concept of dangerous until I was able to realize that my body's sort of always going to be connected with the concept of dangerous. And like, even, you know, Jesus was able to, like, you know, on the cross, like, cry out in pain and need for help because he was experiencing pain. So even though he knew he was God and he knew he, you know, couldn't experience anything wrong, and that like death was not scary and all that, he still was in a physical like anguish. And it seems like, you know, now thinking of it, that he was very open and willing to be forthcoming with that. You know, he wasn't trying to be like, I don't feel pain because I'm enlightened and I'm above pain and there is no pain, you know. He was like, help, this is awful,
this
you know.
Hurts.
And so the like nervous system served as a bridge for me between, like, maybe I don't know what, maybe the bit of me in yellow that was still like, but do I have to pretend like it's not real? And like Jessa says that the 8D is the like body integration, and that it doesn't come until like after the 7D, which is, I'm going to get it wrong, can't quite remember, but it made me realize like, okay, you get the spiritual concepts first, but then you have to go back to the body, which seems the least spiritual.
Well,
so it seems kind of reversed.
I have the exact, well, from my understanding of the spiral, this is exactly in line with stepping into tier two. Yellow is you reintegrate with your body, you reintegrate, you put the puzzle pieces back together of your consciousness, and then turquoise is where you re-engage with spiritual concepts. Yellow is not spiritual at all. Yellow is just, how do I address the fear that is in my system? How do I let go of the fear that is, it's perfectly aligned what you're saying.
Okay. So yellow is the nervous system work. And then turquoise is where you're like, okay, now the spiritual concepts can live in me because I've taken care of the physical fear.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Da, 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 da. You know, when I first reached out to you, I was like, I really think this might all make sense together.
Completely. Cause it is all preparing us as we're shifting through the spiral. Green is where we awaken to our empathy for other people, because we do need that mirror reflection to understand that other people are having completely different experiences than I'm having myself.
Yeah.
But then once you shift into yellow, you recognize that you are having experiences that are even foreign to yourself. Mm-hmm. And you start to get in relationship with your body, your nervous system, your mind, all of the layers of your body that exist, reconcile, integrate all of that, and then move into existing as this turquoise being who is just like,
amazing.
I now understand.
Amazing. I love
it's
it
so
much.
It's so cool. So with this, I mean, you've given me so much to chew on, and I've talked way more than I intended to about various ways that I think. But when it comes down to engaging with other people out in the world who are not existing, even in tier two consciousness, they haven't even, you know, engaged too much with yellow.
Yeah.
What is your approach for engaging with, I guess, with tier one consciousness people?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I really resonated with what you said, that there's like an element to which you start isolating a little bit. So I would say I'm just now starting to like come out of isolation, but I had gotten my world like very, very tiny. I think because I had several experiences as I started talking about this stuff, that of people actually, like one person said, "You're making my brain hurt." And I was like, that really made me so sad. And then another person was like, "Stop." Like, they were like mad. They were like, "Stop, like, don't talk about that stuff." And I had said to them, like, "I don't actually think like we're two different people. I think I'm just having a conversation with myself right now. And like, you're a drop of water and I'm a drop of water, but we're actually ocean." And she was like, "Stop." Like, And so I just like, I work from home. I don't go many places. Like, I was trying to have a, you know, I did convert to Judaism like 10 years ago, and I was having like really difficult interactions at synagogue with people. So I pretty much stopped going to synagogue. Like, I think for a while, I just was like, I don't know how to talk to other humans anymore. And now that I've started work, I was always previously working with kids for my work. So kids I could always talk to about this stuff, because they'd be like, yeah, totally. And I saw, you know, squirrels talking to each other, like, and so, you know, it's worked.
Yeah.
But now I'm working with adults who have like, you know, most of them are connected to Jessa Reed. So most of them have like a level of openness and experience. But there's still, you know, many times when someone's like, I'm like, something is wrong in my life. You know, and I have been really, I have noticed instances where my off the cuff is like, not really, nothing can be wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And then I, you know, and that's why I said I want to talk about this, because I'd like to grow in my ability to be authentic and not censor myself, but also be really gracious and open. And I would say a model that I look up to a lot is Byron Katie. Mm-hmm. She, you know, goes over material with people that for them is devastating. Mm-hmm. And for the majority of the world is black and white, horrific trauma. And she cries, you know, she does not say none of that is real. Mm-hmm. It's all spiritual. You're fine. She cries. She gets upset with them. She never furthers their victim identity. She challenges it, but she's still very compassionate, like so compassionate. And I actually had the privilege of doing the work with her. And I rewatched it just the other day because someone was asking about it. And I was saying stuff that was like very, what's before yellow, green, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was still pretty stuck on some, like, I'm like, people need to love me stuff. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you could tell she was like concerned. She wasn't concerned for me, but she was affected by it. She reflected back to me, like, I see that you're suffering and I'm sorry that you're suffering, while at the same time being very clear with me that I did not need to be suffering. Mm-hmm. And I haven't learned that yet, and I would really like to.
Yes, I am with you in that. I would really, really love how to do this as well. It's the idea of meeting people where they are, but truly meeting them from a place of understanding that what they are experiencing is visceral, is real, it's actual suffering and pain that they're going through.
Yeah.
Holding that as truth, but also knowing that there is more to the experience, that they are deleting, distorting, and generalizing some information that is not allowing them to have this freedom in themselves to know that they're okay.
Yeah.
And so I cognitively can conceptualize these things, but living it out is a completely different thing. And I honestly think it just takes practice. It takes routine awareness of our intention of showing up as this loving being who can journey into tier one with others. You can meet them where they are, validate their experience, and then slowly show them a way to perceive the world in a little bit of a different angle, a different light.
That's beautiful.
To open up their map a little bit so they can see their own way into the light of their future.
What just came to mind as you were talking about that was both the image of, like, you know, the like mythology around like going into the underworld.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like there's characters that go into the underworld. And what came to mind was that when they're okay in the underworld, it's because they're not scared by the underworld. Right. And so I imagine there's still a piece that remembers being in tier one and is like, I hated it and I don't want to go there. And what if I get sucked back in?
Yes.
You know, that like maybe even is a nervous system thing. That's like, please God, don't talk about victimhood because I don't want to get tempted back in. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a growth that will come where you have the solidity of knowing that, one, that you're secure in all tiers, and two, that you have the capacity to move through suffering if that's what's meant for, you know, if I need to go back into victimhood, I, like you said with Jesus, I want to have that willingness to be open to Satan, maybe is a metaphor
for it. For sure,
you know.
And yes, Because I mean, if we're going to bring it back to Jesus, I would say Jesus had his experience of awakening to tier two consciousness after that wilderness experience. So prior to, because we only hear about the story of Jesus when he's like 30-ish, right? We get him as a child where he's learning, I would say, the tier one world that he's in. And then he integrates it tier two after that wilderness experience of going into the underworld, his personal underworld. And we all
Underworld.
have our own personal underworld. And I think when we can reconcile, accept that it exists and it will
That's it.
always exist, then you
And
have the
that it's a
ability.
welcome.
It's welcome. It's a place where you learn so much about yourself and other people. So when you meet someone who is actively living in their hell realm, their underworld, you can go there with them. But you know that there's also more than just the underworld that exists. Yeah. Ah, cool.
Love that so much.
Well,
This is so good.
this is amazing. This is like literally my favorite conversation. But I did want to mention that you are starting your own podcast. And as I mentioned in the beginning, this is a crossover episode. And so I would love for you to speak a little bit about what your podcast is about, and then they can hop over and join us to continue this conversation.
Okay, so it's everything that we've just been talking about. It's called Earth School, which is a Byron Katie concept. I think it's pretty much been taught by like every wisdom tradition, but those words, Earth School, is something that she references a lot. And yeah, the idea is to connect with other people who have been on this journey, sort of out of victimhood consciousness and into like creator consciousness. So, tier one to tier two, basically, stories. And I'm excited. I feel like I spent a lot of time in yellow, like it's just been like a long like yellow trip, and it's exciting to start to think about like reflecting back and being like, oh wow, that was major. And like I thought about, now I'm very much into in my life into learning for my next phase around like mirror principle and reality creation and identity shifting and like cosmic identity and all of these things that are very quantum and very like enthralling and exciting, and that I'm like just trying out. Like I don't have a lot of experience with it. And so there's this element to which I'm like, life is like play and like awesome and so fun. But I think there's, and I was like hesitating about the connotation of school because school has like some like, it's hard a little bit connotation with us. And I was thinking, nope, I actually think that is helpful because there's an element to which it reflects the like tier one to tier two thing too. Because if you are a person who's like having a hard time with school and you're like slogging through school, it can feel like so hard and like suffering. And if you're a person who like has never had access to school and you've felt like you have like so many limitations on your life and somebody pays for you to go to school, you'd be like so excited and you'd feel like it was like the best, like most liberating, like enthralling, like fabulous experience. I'm reading this really good book about a young girl who like was an orphan in India and she was a maid at a private school and she sat in the back of classrooms and like manually moved the fans. But she started learning and she learned how to read and write, like as a byproduct of that. And it like totally revolutionized her whole world. And so I feel like ultimately, like even the people who are like, oh, I don't want to go to Earth School, like then you get to be like, I love school, So,
Yes, I
yeah,
love
I'm
that.
excited.
And I'm so excited to be a part of this journey for you. It's such a cool idea. And just to have even more voices out there talking about how this Earth experience is just that. It's an experience we get to have together. And if we can help each other in any way that we can with whatever insights and awakenings, it's all beneficial.
Well, I
so
love
beneficial.
stories. You know, I think it's so much easier to learn through a story. And
Completely.
so I really envision people telling their stories, you know, and us being able to like that resonance that you had when I said the story about how I was time traveling as a kid, you know, like only by sharing my personal story would you have been able to like be like, me too. You know, it's like
Yes.
there's so much power in those
Yeah.
personal stories. And so I would love, you know, I love hearing people's stories. So I'm just excited, like on a very just me level. But I do think that it's like a really fun tool for learning and like accessible tool for learning for other people too.
Perfect. And so, for anyone who is interested, you can find Earth School on all of the podcast platforms. I will add the information in the show notes in the end. And join us as I will be on that podcast soon.
Yay!
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Instagram at Mental Magic Podcast with a period in between each word. Thanks as always for listening. Bye.